are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is dishing. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. How you all been? It's been a while since I'm live in the studio. Well, I'm live in Miami Beach tonight. How you doing, Miami? Sitting here, looking out over Miami, wishing you're all here, chilling with me. But you're not, because you're doing your thing. Now listen, you got to get the LA Talk Radio app. So come close, because I'm going to tell you this right now. It's free. Go get it, and every Sunday night at 11 o'clock on the East Coast and 8 o'clock on the West Coast, you can take me to bed with you, and you can listen to me talk to you all night with my amazing guests. So we're live. We've got some great shows coming on. We've got Bree Bythewood coming. She's going to be with here in just a little bit. Y'all know Blood, Sweat, and Heels on Bravo. So my show was on last week with them. So Google it, YouTube it, find it, tweet me, at Max Tucci. Love it, because Blood, Sweat, and Heels tonight was the finale. Did you all watch it? Hey, are you all watching that Lindsay Lohan show on OWN? Tell me what you think, at Max Tucci. Wow, we've got Tatiana Boncampagni coming on tonight. She's wrote an amazing book. I love this book because it's drama. And it's kind of like Blood, Sweat, and Heels because it's about these social girls. The book is called Social Death, about these socialites on the Upper East Side and all kinds of drama. So she's going to join us in just a moment. And then, have you all been tuning in to YouTube? Do you all know this amazing guy named Charles Ressler? Well, he's put out a video called Dreammaker. And what he wants everyone to do is become a Dreammaker. So hashtag Dreammaker and tell him your dreams, because we're making dreams come true tonight here, friends. We've got a great dream because there was a, I'm doing my research and finding, what everything is going on in life and what are people up to and what they're doing. And while I was tweeting and getting all my Twitters and everything else and going through all this stuff, Paul wrote this amazing song called It's Only Love. So we've got that song on tonight, and we've got some great stuff. But before we do that, we're going to get Tatiana on the line because she's in New York City and I'm in Miami, and you all over the world listening to Max and Friends. So I thank you for that. And you know what, Ronan, let's get Tatiana on the line because we're going to talk about this book, Social Death, on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Let's get her on the line, Ronan. It's so weird. I haven't been here in so long. I forgot what to do. It's been a while since I'm here, everyone, but I'm glad to be back. Now, listen, if you all have your apps ready or you're listening online, thank you for tuning in. The app, again, is the LA Talk Radio app, and it's free. Welcome, Tatiana, to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Max. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here because this book is like, oh, my goodness, Social Death. It's just like a lot going on in this book, and it's very plausible, all these, rich girls, what's going on, and all these shows, Blood, Sweat, and Heels, yes, and then Lindsay Lohan show.
It's a surprise more of them don't get murdered.
Isn't it true? I'm surprised, too. Now, why social death? Like, did you experience something, or did you hear of something? Were the streets talking?
Well, I think the title, for one, was inspired by the fact that a few years ago, all of the socialites didn't want to call themselves socialites anymore. They wanted to be called socials. For some reason,
right,
that title was a little bit more appealing to them, less derogatory in some way. Mm. And so I thought that was kind of funny because how is one versus the other better? But so it's a bit of a play on words, because social death is actually like a real term in anthropology. It means when a group sort of stops, ignores you or alienates you, so it kind of negates the fact that you're a human or a person. So there's a lot there that I thought would be sort of like a fun play on words, telling the story that I told with this book, which is about a murdered socialite.
We're going to get into that book in a minute, but you're famous for your critically acclaimed book of Hedge Fund Wives and Gilding Lily. Tell us about why you started writing and what was your drive to start writing?
You know, I've always been a storyteller. I think now I look back when I was a young girl, and I was the girl who was like still playing Barbies at 12, coming up with all these like crazy storylines. And I would watch soap operas and come up with different storylines and think that my storylines are better than the ones that they were actually following. So most of it stems from just having a very active imagination. And then I became a journalist out of college. I worked for the Wall Street Journal and a number of different publications. I still write for the Times. I do a lot of lifestyle pieces for them. And so I'm a journalist, so I'm a natural born sort of writer and storyteller. And so I think those two things, it was kind of inevitable that I would find this career path.
In writing. Now, speaking of being a socialite, you know, you've been in Town and Country as well, and that's just the ultimate social magazine. But for just to protect the innocent, I'm sure there were some people in that magazine that you would want to be on that social death list.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of, you know, I think when you first kind of get in the game, as I did when I first came to New York, and all of a sudden I was in Women's Wear Daily and, you know, these different places and having my picture out there, it was so exciting. And it kind of, you know, I've talked about this before when Gilding Lily came out. That was really what that book was about, was my experience just sort of being sucked into all of the, it's just a certain kind of energy, and it's exciting and it's glamorous and it's hard. I think it must be like, you know, a girl from Iowa going to Hollywood and all of a sudden finding herself at the middle, you know, and sort of in the center of a group of starlets. It's really hard not to want to, you know, be a part of that, even when you know that their morals and their values are a little bit skewed and misplaced. And so that sort of, I had a little bit of that experience coming to New York. But now having, you know, now I'm older and wiser, and, you know, I've sort of worked out all those issues through my books, like what kind of drives girls to need that and want that
right.
kind of attention.
That insecurity.
Well, because you're not really, you know, there's once a great piece about the socialite Tinsley Mortimer, where her husband said, who's now, I guess she's in the process of divorcing, said, you know, I just wish she was famous for doing something, like making something of herself. And so I have always believed in that. I believe that these things can only satisfy you for so long before they become really hollow and empty. You really have to have a passion, a drive to do something beyond, or use the pulpit that you're given as someone who ends up appearing in these party pages of magazines to accomplish your goals. Now, for me, right. I have a real goal, which is, you know, which is to be a writer and achieve success in doing that. But I think for some of the girls who may not have such like a fully formed concept of what they want to do with their lives, it can be kind of dangerous, because then it's like, what do you have to fall back on? There's got to be a foundation beneath that house that you're building.
And of course, you're a mommy of three beautiful children.
Yes, that too. I mean, that really grounds me more than anything else.
Right. Yeah. That's legitimate right there. You know, we all have these fun passions, but once you start having children, that's when it gets real.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to, I think in a couple of years, my youngest, who's three, will be in kindergarten full time. So it'll be nice to be able to have a little bit more me time, or time to, you know, work on my fiction. But yeah, it's like, it's a juggle. It's like, that's the priority always, is taking care of my kids. And then this is what I do for myself, really.
And everyone, if you're tuning into now, right now on Max and Friends, you're listening to Max Tucci. And my guest right now is Tatiana Boncompagni. She is an author of a fabulous book called Social Death. And we're talking about the social scene in New York. You know, I have a family that Delmonico's Restaurant, so I've graced the pages of many magazines. And I was like, I feel like, you know, I get what you're saying about it. It gets tired quick. You know, it's fun, but it gets tired quickly. Because it's really like this image where, especially in New York, where they put you on a pedestal in one moment, and then the next, there's always someone new.
Oh, for sure. And page six is a very fickle friend. Like, you know, they love you, then they don't.
You know, I love the stories from when the socialites back in the girl used to go to the New York, back in the day, they used to go to the New York Public Library, and they used to send in their stories about themselves from the New York Public Library. Did you hear that?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I believe it. Well, you know, there was the period when I wrote Gilding Lily and I was working in Hedge Fund Wives, there's, you know, those websites that no one knew who, it was like, you know, Gossip Girl for real.
Right.
No one knew who was behind them. And all the girls would basically comment on themselves. And we all kind of knew it.
Well, it's so funny because they would totally do it. And I remember friends of mine, they would be like, we have to go to New York Public Library because they can't track from who it came from.
right.
But you know what? It kind of like set the scene because really, you know, there's always been society, but it's never been, it's become like reality society almost. And so social death is at the perfect time because there's a lot of people that I think need to be on that list. You know, with, especially with all these reality shows and all of these people just like climbing out of under rocks.
Everybody wants to be famous.
Girls. But let's talk about the book because, you know, you've gone indie on this book, which I'm reading here. And it's we talk a lot about self-publishing here on Max and Friends because I think it's something that when you own your own rights to your stuff, it's better. It's a smart choice.
Yeah.
But why did you go indie?
Well, I had gone the other route and I wanted to try something new. My husband was the one who was the real force behind it. He believes in my writing and he reads a lot of indie books. He's a sci-fi fan. And he's like, you should do this. Like, why are you, you know, working with a publishing company when he knows how hard I hustle for my book. So he's like, you know, you do all this stuff yourself. And I think for an author who just likes to sit behind their desk and write beautiful sentences and doesn't know the first thing about marketing or publicity, I don't think indie is the right choice for them because it's, you have to have a business sense as well. And you have to understand how marketing and publicity works. And I'm a journalist, so I work with publicists and marketing specialists all the time. And I think I have a good sense for that. So I think that I'm the right kind of author to own her rights and publish her own books because I have a business sense and I enjoy that part of that side of the business. And so that's why I decided to do it, because I think I could do a good job. I wanted to try it, wanted to see what it was like. And I also think it's the future of our business. I can price my book a lot lower than, you know, a previous publisher was HarperCollins. They're not going to price my Kindle book as low as I can and I can afford to. And I'm still going to make more money off my book.
Absolutely.
That way. Yeah.
And speaking of plugging, you can all go to Amazon.com right now. Get the book Social Death. So y'all know what we're talking about, because we're going to talk about it right here, right now, Max and Friends, because it's good. I like these kind of mysteries, and Olivia, she's got a lot of drama in her life, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. A lot of secrets.
Now, tell us, I love this, because you say the rich are different from you and me. They have deadlier secrets. So without giving the book away, let's get into the book. So tell us about her father and, of course, this veteran news producer. Is that you?
No, well, it's not. It's like sort of my alter ego, I guess you could say.
Okay.
She's the one thing that we have in common is that we are both well endowed in the chest area.
Okay.
So I have with Clyde. Clyde is my heroine of the series. This is the first book in a series, and she is a veteran news producer. She's got red hair. I don't, and you know, she's very curvaceous. I am, and and she's just really tough. She's got like a Teflon exterior, people, because she's like so big and noticeable in a room, and she has this really tough, you know, personality. People think that she's not sensitive at all, but she's also, you know, actually deep down very vulnerable, and she has this very, you know, she has a past that's both troubled and privileged. And so her best friend since she was a child is Olivia Kravis, who's a very famous socialite because her father is the founder of First News. You can imagine sort of billionaire daughter.
Yes.
And
her billionaire father, Charles.
Yeah, Ted, if you could imagine a girl like Ted Turner's daughter. I don't know if he even has a daughter, or, you know, Georgina Bloomberg or somebody like of that nature. And so Clyde gets called out to the news producer gets called out on Saturday or Sunday morning to a beautiful building on the Upper East Side that just happens to be the same building where her best friend lives. And of course, it turns out that the murder victim is none other than her best friend and the daughter of her, you know, billionaire boss. And so she has to, it's, you know, the book is a lot about conflicts of interest, you know, because the network, they're covering the a crime and they don't want anything too seedy or scandalous to come out because they're actually in the midst of a very important merger. And at the same time, Clyde is, you know, conflicted because she has personal reasons for wanting to solve the crime, but she also has to do it from a professional standpoint. And on top of all that, she's teamed up with this very devilishly charming and handsome news correspondent named Alex Amori. And Clyde's, you know, past includes a lot of mistakes, mostly booze-fueled mistakes with men. So she's trying not to let herself fall in love with Alex, you know, and be attracted to him and do her job and cover her friend's murder. So there is a lot going on, a lot of twists.
There is a lot going on. And Clyde, well, she holds the key to unlocking the truth, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. It all comes back to her. Yeah.
It all unravels. It's the thriller, everybody. Now, listen, what I love is all these characters. Now, let's say that if this were to be a movie, who would play Olivia?
Gosh, Olivia could be someone like, I guess in my dreams, would be like someone like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
You know, Gwyneth Paltrow to me is just like the perfect, you know, just
I got it.
You know, society princess. Yeah.
Perfect. And who would her father be? Who would Charles be?
Oh gosh, that's such a good question. He's got to be kind of old because he's on his
Michael
way
Douglas.
Out. Well, no, not Michael Douglas. Who's Michael Douglas's father? Who's that?
Mr. Douglas.
Yeah, like really old. Or the
one foot on the grave, the other on the banana peel, right?
Or Charlie Sheen's father, like one of those guys, like somebody.
All right, all right, that's good. Yeah. And then who would Clyde play?
Clyde? Well, my, you know, when I was sort of writing this, I think physically and in terms of, you know, how she appears on the screen is Christina Hendricks. I love her. I watch Mad Men. I'm obsessed with that show. And she just has, you know, she's full bodied and I love that about her. And she also has, she's a strong woman, but she's also very vulnerable. So she takes a lot. I mean, she's had to, you know, seen it on Mad Men. She's not the character, Clyde is not the character Christine Hendricks plays on, you know, Mad Men, but I think she has a real ability, that actress, to play very complex, strong, yet vulnerable women. So I could see her, but also from a physical standpoint, she's buxom and redheaded, so that works.
The book that we're talking about is Social Death, everyone. It's available now at Amazon.com. It's a good price, too, so go get it now. We're talking about it some more with my guest, who is Tatiana. I love saying your last name. I'm even saying it right.
Thanks.
Buon compagni.
Yes, you got it down. That's right. You're a good Italian.
It helps to be Italian.
Yeah.
But no, so it's exciting because now there's a new lipstick I'm hearing called Social Death. Tell us about this lipstick, this red lipstick.
Yes. Well, somebody suggested to me, well, why don't you, because my book cover is a red lip imprint. Like, you know, imagine when you like dab your lips against a handkerchief or a piece of toilet paper or whatever, and you make, you know, a lip imprint. And so it's a play on that. It kind of looks a little bit like a bullet wound in the sense that it has like splatter and blood and all of that. And it's, you know, it captures the red lipstick and like sort of captures the idea of seduction. My book is very sexy and mysterious and strong. And those are all, you know, words I'd use to describe my main character, but also just the basic like tone and tenor of the book. And so someone suggested to me, I should send out a red lipstick with my book to, you know, to press. And I thought, you know, I think I can do better than that. And I approached a friend of mine who put me in touch with a company in Illinois called Votrevue, and they make amazing products. Like, you know, they're always the guys who are doing, you know, the makeup artists that are doing all of you know, the celebrities on the red carpet. For example, Camilla Alves, Matthew McConaughey's wife, wore Votrevue makeup to the Oscars. And I mean, the list goes on and on. All the celebrity artists, makeup artists use Votrevue on their clients.
Well, more importantly, there's Social Death now.
Yes. And now they've got a Social Death lipstick. So they created the latest shade in their French Kiss lipstick collection is called Social Death. And they created limited edition packaging. And sort of that spawned an idea, which a lot of book groups are doing now, which is to read my book and everyone come in there. It doesn't have to be Social Death Red, even better if it is, but it does just your favorite red lipstick. And, you know, how fun is it that you all show up to your book club and, you know, everyone yes. can have a glass of wine, all wear your red lipstick and talk about my book.
Now, speaking about your book, you know, why did you go to the whole mystery writing? Because you were known for the world of finance and hedge funds. Why mystery?
Yeah, well, I've read mysteries when I was young, and I've always loved mysteries. And after I wrote Hedge Fund Wives and Gilding Lily, I was reading a lot of mysteries. And I was just inspired to tell a story. I think, you know, it's sort of ups the ante. My previous books, everyone said to me, I love, you know, they're page turners, you know, books that I can't put down. And I think that when I think about a really good mystery, it's a book that I can't put down. And so I thought I'm going to, you know, even try and make it all the more suspenseful by adding in the element of danger and the high stakes of, you know, a real life or death situations and lost loved ones. And I sort of wanted to test myself and see if I could do it. And I just had so much fun. So,
super. Yeah. Well, Meganella just bought the copy of your book because she just told us on Twitter. I just ordered Social Death. She even hashtagged Social Death. How cool is that?
Thank you.
Good for very you. Good. Hashtagging
love
Social
it.
Death. But yes. Yeah, so we're really excited about having you on tonight. Now, you had an amazing launch party at the Nanette Lepore store. So what's going on for you next and where are your next events?
I'm next going to do an event in Greenwich, which is great. Because
in Connecticut?
Yes, in Connecticut.
That's where I used to live.
Oh, really? Is
yes.
that where you grew up? Well, I have a friend who's based out there who's a designer, and we're working on putting an event together. And it's perfect because there's actually a scene in Greenwich where my main character has to go out to one of the, you know, the fabulous homes out there, actually a hedge fund wife's home. And she gets another wife drunk, and she ends up sort of, well, she doesn't get her drunk. The
oh,
other
my
woman
God, this
drinks.
Has to be a movie.
She drinks too much anyways, and then she ends up, you know, sort of spilling the beans on a woman who's possibly involved in the crime.
It gets good. It gets even better. But listen,
yeah.
when you're ready to come to Palm Beach, let me know. We'll do a party for you down here in Palm Beach.
Oh, sounds
I'm
great,
in Florida
Max.
Now.
Okay.
I'm
yes.
in Florida.
Well,
now, before we let you go, Palm where Beach. Can people find you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook if you just, mm-hmm. you know, look under my name, Tatiana Boncompagni, or on Twitter if you look for Social Death, you'll find me that way. That's an easy way. I'm Tati Boncompagni on Twitter, but Social Death is probably a little bit easier for most people to spell. And I'm on Amazon. My books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And,
you're all
yeah.
over the place. That's
yes,
good.
I am.
That's good. Now, before I let you go, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it's from a professional standpoint, every writer dreams of writing, you know, sort of some seminal work that they will be remembered for. And so I share that same dream. I'd like to, you know, move people and make them view their lives differently. And, you know, I think the theme in most of my work, if you look, you know, through all of it, it's that money, you know, it's that sort of old Beatles song, Money Doesn't Buy You Happiness. You know, what truly makes people happy is, you know, the things like family
and books.
and just, you know, like, I feel very strongly in this. I think that most people, you know, I'm part of this world, and so I'm also kind of not of this world, and I have that point of view that most people that live in this world aren't that much happier than the people who mm-hmm. who don't. And so I just want people to embrace the gifts that they have. And
I love your philosophy.
Yeah. Right.
And I would say live
that's
life
what inspired
to
me to write.
But you know what? Because we're talking about dreams tonight too. So what is your biggest dream? Have you had it, or are you going to dream bigger?
Oh, I'm, you know what? Like, I'm that girl who's like, no matter what I get, like, I remember I used to dream of writing for the New York Times, and I write for the New York Times all the time now. Like, I dreamed of having my byline in Vogue, and I have my byline in Vogue. I've dreamed of selling and publishing books, and I've done all that, and that's always the next step. And I, at first, like, I, you know, I went through a period where I was very, like, you know, not happy with myself. Like, why can't I be happy in the now? Why can't I be happy with what I have? And, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, she's a hypocrite because she's like all about not wanting to make more money, not wanting to do the more. This. I think there's a real difference. And I think you can come to this place in your life where you understand your nature. And my mm-hmm. nature is to be, you know, ambitious. I'm always wanting to achieve more. But the difference is, like, it's not getting the thing. It's not winning the award or selling the books. It's the aspect of the achievement. I think it's important to continue driving yourself to do better. For me, it's always like, you know, as much as anything else, be a better mom, be a better wife, be a better friend, be a better writer. Just, I want to get better at all these things. And I don't think I'll stop wanting to get better at all these things until the day I die. And I've accepted that about myself. So yes, I will continue to dream. And you could ask me, like, we could do another conversation after I become a New York Times bestseller. My books get made into movies. You know,
the book will be a movie. Dream bigger. And, hashtag dream bigger.
Right. And I will still have something else on my list to do. But I think that that's healthy. I think that's what keeps us alive.
It's true. You know what? To just always have that motivation to keep going. And like I always say here, to live life to the max.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all about that. I use all my minutes of all my days, and you know, it's right. I mean, I think
we love what we do.
And you know, I think when you do love what you do, when you're passionate, when you have a passion, when you're fortunate enough to have discovered what it is, it's not a burden. It's like it's a will.
So. Yeah, right. It's a pleasure. Yeah. It becomes a pleasure. Life becomes good.
Right.
Life becomes good. Well, Tatiana, thank you so much for joining us tonight at Max and Friends. The book, everyone, we're talking about is Social Death. Get the book, get the lipstick, and hashtag Social Death, and let us know what you think about it. Tatiana, yeah. We're going to talk to you real soon. I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Okay. Thanks, Max.
All right, Tatiana, have a wonderful night. Well, everyone, we're moving on. We're going to play It's Only Love here on Max and Friends. And when we're back from It's Only Love, we've got Bree Bythewood from Blood, Sweat, and Heels. Hit it, Ronan. It's Only Love.
What?
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was my new favorite song, It's Only Love by Paul Lufthansa. I love that song. It was so good. Everyone, it all came about because there's something called Dreammaker. So go online, hashtag Dreammaker on Twitter. Find out about it. It's Only Love. That's my song. And I got Bree Bythewood from Blood, Sweat, and Heels joining me right now. How you doing, Bree?
How you doing?
How good was that song?
It was amazing. I was dancing while I was listening to it.
It's
Rocco's in the background. Like, do you hear Rocco in the background barking? He's barking. He loved it too.
It's Only Love. It's like the new song. And this is how it all... Bree's a good friend of mine, everyone who's tuning in right now. It's a Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. So Bree and I are just having a little chit-chat before we talk about Blood, Sweat, and Heels. But so, you know, I was on Twitter and I met this guy, Charles, on Twitter who's hashtagging Dreammaker. So I said, I love making dreams come true for people. So then I was reading this article in the Las Vegas Weekly and how there was this song that came out called It's Only Love. So I called Charles. I said, who wrote the song? He said, Paul. I said, send it to me. We'll play it on the air tonight. And so we played It's Only Love on Max and Friends. Bree, I'm going to send you the song. So Bree, tell me what's going on in your life and how was the season finale of Blood, Sweat, and Heels?
The season finale was wonderful. I just got home. I was out with Geneva and Melissa and Micah. We were having some good girl fun, and we were at the reunion. I'm sorry, at the finale, watching the final episode. And yeah, no, if you haven't seen it, definitely tune in. It was worth the watch. And you know, good things come to those who wait. It was a happy ending.
You know what? Let's flash back to last week, because that's when you and I were on the show together. How much fun was that show? That was the good time. That was a good show.
Oh, my gosh. I wish that we were able to take, like, the full hour, just you and I, because we had so much fun. Like, that was honestly one of my favorite days of filming. I loved, loved, loved filming with you.
We had a lot of fun. And Patti LaBelle was up in that house. We had a good time. But you know, 2.5 million viewers Blood, Sweat, and Heels had for the premiere. The highest number ever watched on Bravo was your show. How did you feel like being thrusted into this reality world? You know, I just had this amazing author on tonight by the name of Tatiana, and I love her last name, Boncampani, and she wrote a book called Social Death, which is about, like, you know, these socialite girls, and there's a murder, and one gets killed, and the whole thing. I mean, it's crazy, but that's like the social scene. Is there anyone on the show that you wanted to kill?
You know what? I think we have all had our moments. There are moments of, like, mental murder where I think I committed a couple of crimes in my head against a couple of them. But you know what? I will stand true to my girls on the show, my heart, my girls, my BFFs on the show. Hands down, bar none, no question asked, Demetria and Geneva. They are my solids, my ride or dies. Those are my homegirls. Micah, Daisy, and Melissa, we have our ups and downs, and that is so true to life. And it's just, and I'm friendly with all of the ladies. I'm in good standing with all of them. But, you know, throughout the season, we definitely have our ups and we have our downs.
Wow. you know what, when it gets down, you get down, because I know you to be like this lovely girl, and then you're on TV, you're like, you know what, hold up, wait a minute. But now there was some frankenbiting going on, because you got some shit the other day for saying something to Mika. I always call her Micah, whatever. But like, what happened for Micah, cheap and fake? But what happened? Let's be nice. But what happened? Because there was a scene where they kind of edited you out, and tell the public what really happened, because people hated you for a minute. Let's keep it real.
Wait, be specific, because there are a lot of scenes like that. I mean, no, it was
you
the
know the one
off,
when her father died and you guys are talking.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I didn't know her father had passed away. So let's be real about that. I did not speak to Micah. I did not know that her father had passed away. And had I known that, I'm a very compassionate person. I'm a very heartfelt, passionate person. I would have extended myself beyond myself to make sure I was there for her. Micah and I are friendly. I've known her for the exact amount of time that I've known Daisy and Demetria. Demetria is just someone I formed a more solid bond with. So in terms of the show, I did not know that her father died. I was asked about, my relationship with my father, which obviously is a tighter relationship than Micah had with her estranged father of 10 years. Mm-hmm. My father is someone I speak to a minimum of 10 times a day. I'm not comparing relationships, but when I'm asked to compare, I keep it real. So let's call a spade and say that I have a real relationship, whereas she had an estranged relationship. Mm-hmm. Does that make death any more challenging or, detrimental to a person? Right. Of course it does not. Right. However, when you deal with reality TV, it makes it seem as though. So I can't defend that, because what people judge is what they see, but what they're not judging is who I am as a person. So I let the character speak for itself, but when I'm asked to defend me, then I speak for myself. And yes, I'm a compassionate person, and I do care that Micah lost her father. I do care a great deal about Micah. And what you see is not always what you get and not always what happened. But again, it's reality TV.
Listen, I love all you girls, because I met Melissa. You guys came up to the event, when we chaired for Patti LaBelle. She was great. And of course, I love Belle in Brooklyn. We got to have her up on my show. Yeah. But, it's like, it's true. There's like, it's a friendship. And then, like all friendships, you're going to have blood, sweat, and heels. And sometimes the heels are going to go flying.
Just because we all share heels doesn't mean we all have to be the same size.
Because, I was with a friend of mine tonight, and he's in love with Melissa. Is she single still? Because he's like, hook me up with her. So we got to make something happen.
Melissa, you'll have to wait. She does discuss that on the reunion show, which is next week on the 23rd. She does discuss her dating status. Okay.
So we'll have keep to wait it to that see. Next week. Next week on Bravo. We have the with our boy Andy Cohen. Y'all got up in that studio.
We did. We had a good old time. And I have to say, honestly, like reality TV, as much as reality TV is reality TV, it also is real, because we really do go through situations. We really do go through life and death. We really do go through the ups and downs of friendship and relationships and everything. So, as much as people want to say that it's not real or it's fake or it's scripted, it's definitely not scripted. Right. No one gives us the script and tells us what to say. We react to every situation as we would in real life. So,
now, listen, I got to ask you a quick question, because I got to get Charles on the show. But what is your biggest dream, and have you dreamt it, or are you going to dream bigger? Where do you stand with dreaming?
I dream big every day. So my dreams grow bigger by the moment. So if you ask me an hour, it's bigger than it was at this moment when I state it. But my background is in broadcast journalism, and my career at present moment is in real estate. I would love, and I dream of, hosting a television show, whether it be real estate related or lifestyle related, something that would just be, similar to like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, or, and the cars that are parked in their garages. Cause I'm a car fanatic, a Formula One fanatic.
And
I'm the biggest jock and the highest of high heels. So I will look through your garage. I will help you talk about your engine, change your flat tire, talk about your house, how much it's worth, and I'll throw you a spiral football all at the same moment. So Wow. Put me on TV and I will travel the world showing you everything that I can show you.
We need to do a show together. All right. Hey, Mark Turner, if you're listening tonight, Bree and I are coming to your office.
Yes, we are. We're going to bring it.
You need the
We're
going to
break down your door. Yeah. We'll bring it.
You need some black and white on TV, right? All right, my
darling.
Well, listen,
come on.
I love you so much for joining us tonight at Max and Friends. I'm tuning in next week to the reunion show because I want to see some heels flying. And thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
I love you to pieces, and thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Stay tuned to Blood, Sweat, and Heels. Next week is the reunion show on Bravo TV. Good night, Bree.
9 p.m. Love you.
Love you, too. All right, we've got Charles Wrestler joining us in just a minute. Now, before you all are tweeting me like, who's Charles, you got to go on nowhere. Just stay here because we've got the video. This is what I saw, and this is what prompted me to have him on. Ronan, hit it, and let's call Charles. We'll be right back on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Charles Wrestler. On December 24th, I embarked on an accidental and extraordinary journey. Through a series of events, I changed my Twitter profile to Dreammaker. Tweet me your aspirations, use hashtag Dreammaker, help it unfold. When I woke up, 500 people had followed me and 25 people sent me dreams. Then 25 turned to 50, and then 50 to 150, and right now, over 400 people have tweeted their dreams to me. I started reaching out to my network, and so far, in 7 days, 6 people will be receiving help on their path. My goal is to connect 40 people with real-life dream makers in the next 90 days. Those whose aspirations are out of my reach, I'll be sharing your dreams regularly to ask the community around us to help, and everyone do the same. So here's what I need from you. If you'd like to help a dream come true, use the hashtag Dreammaker. Put it in your profiles. If you're a dreamer, let people know by adding hashtag Dreamer to your profile on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and continue to tweet me and others your dreams. Let's call celebrities and brands to action by tweeting Dreammaker up to them, sending them emails, and using social media. After all, we're the people who give them their power. And help spread the word by sharing this video. What does the fox say? Can go viral? Shouldn't our deepest dreams, goals, and aspirations have that power too? In the end, we can prove that by helping others with their aspirations, we get closer to our own goals. And that by empowering others, we empower ourselves. So let's start the new year right and start crowdsourcing the making of dreams. After all, I'm just one normal guy, and look what I could do in 7 days. Now, think of what we could do together.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and that was Charles Wrestler. That was his video that's on YouTube right now. Hashtag Dreammaker. You know I love making all your dreams come true. That's why we played the song tonight, It's Only Love, and that's why we're having Charles on, because I totally believe that when you help others, you're helping yourself, and it's just nice to encourage each other to dream bigger. Welcome to Max and Friends, Charles.
Hey, Max. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy you're here. I was in Italy when I first discovered you, and I was like tweeting you like, I'm going to have you on the show, and I haven't been here in so long, and I'm like so glad that it's like my first live show in almost a month, and you're on my show. So thank you for joining us, for real.
Well, thank you so much. It was really exciting to get your tweet, and I actually had just come off doing the Morning Blend in Vegas talking about Dreammaker, and I the tweets were coming in the midst with this Superman picture, so good job with your branding.
It's Supermax.
Supermax, excuse me.
There you go. No. So tell us how Dreammaker began. You know, we played your YouTube video, which has like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hits, but like, how did Dreammaker happen?
Well, you know, it was a very rough holiday season for me this year, and a lot of major life changes, and actually in the course of 3 weeks there were about 3 tragedies in a row very, very close to me. And it was the day before Christmas Eve, and I was feeling pretty sad and wallowy, which is not really my personality. I'm kind of known to be where you would go for the beacon of positivity. And I thought, you know, I have to do something to get me out of this funk and at least focus on something positive, because then positivity will start to arise around me. And I started playing with Twitter, and I tweeted something about seeing Pippin in New York City when I was there. It's my hometown, so I was there in December. And this woman tweeted me back and said, that would be my dream come true. And for me to get Broadway tickets is a couple phone calls usually. Like, maybe it would take me 10 minutes. So I thought, wow, that's really easy. I wish this woman wasn't in Chicago. If she was in New York, I could get her to see Pippin in 2 seconds. And it just led me down a path. Well, if that's true, I wonder how many people are out there in the Twitter sphere and all around me that have these aspirations, that it could take me 10 minutes or it could take me an hour, or maybe I want to spend a year helping somebody. But that, if that's true for me, it's probably true of everyone within their network. And so by helping another person, you know, you're actually getting them closer, and by doing that, you're getting yourself closer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's
actually
in a really rough time that it came to be. It's the long and the short of it.
But, you know, it's like what it's like where you are at that moment is exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you weren't there, you wouldn't be here. So it was all part of the, you know, the destiny of dream makers and dreaming bigger and helping people. Have you always helped people growing up?
Yeah. I've always been the person that would go over to the kid that was alone, and I've always been the champion of the underdog. And I'm sort of, you know, in life there are people who are noted connectors,
right?
And I'm definitely a connector in life. I meet people and I find them interesting, and I say, oh, you know who you should meet. And so it's sort of a natural progression for me to do this at a more global scale.
Now, where does Dreammaker stand now? How many people have retweeted it or hashtag Dreammakers, do you know?
Oh, no. You know what? I don't know. And for the most part, it's funny because I get emails and I get tweets from people saying, you know, you should make this into an internet platform, or you should figure out how to make money from it, or all of these things. And the truth of the matter is that I take my free time when I'm not working, and I live in the dreams, and I live in the context of who do I know that could potentially make this happen. And there's some really cool examples of that. And I really also don't feel like the concept belongs to me. I feel like I was called to catalyze it, and that as it grows, it really kind of belongs to the people who want to be involved in it. And so at some point in time, I'm hoping there are so many dream makers, and maybe my name can be forgotten in context of this particular thing, because it's really about the human experience, and we all dream, right? We all have aspirations. It's something that connects all of us. And I think over time we stop talking about them and stop living in fairy tale worlds. And it's just a reminder to say your dream out loud, or to know that there are people out there that care about you.
Absolutely. Now, with this whole dream maker, and, you know, I love making dreams come true for people. That's why we played the song tonight, which is one of my new favorite songs. It's Only Love. I just think it's so appropriate for life.
It's so great. And just getting a tweet like that and then seeing it played on a radio station is what this whole thing is about. So thank you for doing that.
Of course. No, listen, and I want to pledge to you that if there's anyone that realistically I could help on the show here, count me in, send them my way. We'll have them on the show if they have great music like It's Only Love. I would love to play songs like that. And anyone who, you know, we can make a difference. And it takes one person, and you're the one that listened to the call. And so it's great that we could all network together and help people make their dreams come true. Because, you know, in this world we live in, at times it's so shitty, and we've gone through so much stuff in life. And it's like when there's people there who are going to help you and especially help your dreams, I love it. And we do it here on Max and Friends all the time. So, Charles, send them my way. I would love to have you back on the show for sure, so we can continue this whole Dreammaker, hashtag Dreammaker. What are your dreams,
yeah,
people? And you know what I always say? Everyone needs to dream bigger, because it's like once your dream has manifested, you have to dream bigger. And Thomas Hibner is a perfect example of that. He was Miley Cyrus tweeted about him, and she's like, you got to listen to his stuff. So I listened to his songwriting. We had him on the show, and now he's written like tons and tons of songs, and he's always played. People are always requesting his music. So it's just – it's part of the paying it forward kind of a thing. But I like Dreammaker because it works. So what are your plans for Dreammaker?
Well, right now it's just a matter of getting the dreams together. I have such a great example that just recently happened. There's a girl in England who wanted to be a museum curator, and I've received probably over 1,200, that number I know. And so I finally got to number 153, and of those 153 on my list, out of 1,200, 17 of them have been either put on their path or brought completely to fruition. But this young girl, she wants to be a museum curator and just got out of university, and that world is very much about not how talented you are, yes, you need that, not how educated you are, though you need that too, but it's really about who you know in the museum world. And it just so happened I had a friend who's a major art collector and philanthropist who's giving gifts to every major museum who was on his way to London at that moment that I got to that dream. And they met in London, and he's going to connect her around, and she'll be the first one to know about all of the exhibitions that are happening and potentially be able to work under some pretty major curators. So those are, you know, that's where Dreammaker is. Dreammaker's in this phase of, you know, as far as I know, I'm the only person really on a regular basis looking at them and working on them. Although, interestingly, when you search the hashtag on Twitter, you find a lot of other people, and certain people have reached out to me and been like, hey, what do you do with Dreammaker? And it just turns out
you
that
need
it's
to start,
spread,
you need
and
to start,
I'm not aware
yes.
of it.
You need to start Dreammaker ambassadors where people are helping you, because it's kind of like, you know, something like, for instance, with me, when I saw, you know, with the song that someone dreamed was to get the word, their song out there, It's Only Love, let's make it happen. So I want to be a Dreammaker ambassador for you. Is that cool?
You know, I was watching the Oscars 2 weeks ago or a week ago or whenever. And Ellen DeGeneres tweeted the selfie with, you know, all the celebrities, Meryl Streep and all those people. And she literally was able to shut down Twitter. Twitter could not handle the amount of people who signed on to retweet it.
Right.
And I thought to myself, you know, as fun and cool as that is, think of what would be possible if everyone for a minute had a mindset to go and think, you know what, let me have 15 people tweet me a dream and make a commitment to help one of them. And then it's retweeted 2.2 million times. All of those people in some way would have some form of a connection. And, you know, sometimes it's super duper easy. And sometimes there are dreams that just really, there's a woman that tweeted me about her son, and she really wants him in Montessori school because he's getting beaten down by the educational system that he's in and the kids and the teachers. And for me, I have no idea how I'm going to help this woman, but gosh darn it, I'm going to help her. Because
all right, Montessori schools, if you're listening tonight, you got to tweet hashtag Dreammaker. And listen, seriously, if you feel like donating to pay for this child's education, people, hashtag Dreammaker. And I got to wrap the show up. I'm getting the cue because I'm going overtime because I haven't been here in so long, Charles, and I just love talking on air and I love having you on as a guest. So, Charles, will you be back on the show again with me and we'll talk about more dreams?
Anytime, and I would love to. And thank you so much for helping spread the word. It makes such a difference.
It's my pleasure, and you're making the difference too. And dreams can become reality. We just have to take life to the max and make it happen. So, Charles, I'm going to have you back. I'm going to talk to you after the show. I'll give you a call so we can figure it out. But I definitely want to have you back on. People, what are your dreams? Hashtag Dreammaker. Let us know, because I'm joining the force with Charles and he's helping people make their dreams become a reality. And that's what I'm going to do here on Max and Friends. So until next time, everyone, Charles, have a great week ahead. I'm going to talk to you after the show. Tell everyone good night, Charles, for me.
Good night, and take life to the max, people.
Take it to the max. Thanks, Charles, for being on. Thank you, Bree, for being on. And, of course, Tatiana, with your book that I can't wait to – I'm getting it right after the show, Social Death. And my new favorite song from Paul, It's Only Love, because that's all we have, people, is love. And on that note, I have to wish my mother a happy birthday because it's midnight here on the East Coast. My mother's St. Patrick's Day, so happy birthday, Mama. Love you. And everyone, just take life to the max. Good night and good karma. I'm Max Tucci, and thanks for listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Good night, Ronan.